Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dhamma, homage to the Noble Sangha. Today meditation is about Anangasappaya Sutta, the way to imperturbable. I have heard that on one occasion, the Blessed One was staying among the Kurus. Now there is town of the Kurus called Kammasadhamma. There the Blessed One addressed the monks. Monks, yes, Lord, the monks responded to him. The Blessed One said, monks, sensuality is impermanent, hollow, false, deceptive. It is illusory, the babble of fools. Sensuality here and now, sensuality in lives to come, sensual perceptions here and now, sensual perceptions in lives to come, both are Mara's realm, Mara's domain, Mara's bait, Mara's range. They lead to these evil, unskillful mental states, covetousness, ill will, and competition. They arise for the obstruction of a disciple of the Noble Ones here in training. So here you can see Buddha is saying this sensuality is impermanent. Hello. False, deceptive. You might be able to remember that determination for truth. It says whatever is deceptive is false. Only the Nibbana is undeceptive and true. And it is also saying it is the illusory and babble of fools. To give you an example for this babble of fools, when I was in the uni, I was talking to a friend of mine. And to that place, there was another friend came. And then he was actually admiring a part of a woman's body, speaking about it. So what I'm trying to say over here is that it's the babble of fools. Now this fool is creating this sensuality. For example, it may be a school child, maybe 10 or 12 years old. And in this birth, he may not have thought about those things. And then to that place comes a sort of matured boy and says such a thing. Now this little boy wanted to check whether this is true. So that he is actually looking at those things. And then his consciousness gets established. And then you get the name and form established. So down to the birth. So that is how the fool is actually creating this thing. So again, we are talking about sensual perceptions here. Sensual perception is desire for existence of consciousness due to volitional formations. And it also saying, the sensual perceptions in lives to come, both are Mara's realm, Mara's domain, Mara's bait, Mara's range. See, when you look about the range, whatever things we can see from our eyes, Mara can see as well. We are in a Mara's cage, and whenever we are trying to get out of this Mara's cage, and Mara giving you a bait, you like this one, isn't it? He can see what you actually saw and you like before. So what is arising? The arising is unskillful mental states, covetousness, ill will and competition. So then this discourse is saying, in that case, the disciple of the Noble Ones considers this. Sensuality here and now, sensuality in lives to come, sensual perceptions here and now, sensual perceptions in lives to come, both are Mara's realm, Mara's domain, Mara's bait, Mara's range. They lead to these evil, unskillful mental states, covetousness, ill will and competition. They arise for the obstruction of disciples of the Noble Ones here in training. What if I overpower in the world? The overpower in the world means using, 37 factors of enlightenment. Like Eightfold Path, seven factors of enlightenment, four effort, five faculties, etc. And using those things, having determined my mind, where to dwell, with an awareness that was abandoned and exalted. Having done so, these evil, unskillful mental states, covetousness, ill will, and competition, would not come into being. With their abandoning, my mind would become unlimited, immeasurable, and well-developed. Practicing and frequently abiding in this way is mine acquires confidence in that dimension. There being full confidence, he either attains the imperturbable now or else he is committed to discernment. With the breakup of the body after death, it is possible that this leading on consciousness of his will go to the imperturbable. This is declared to be the first practice conducive to the imperturbable. So to understand this one, let us first go to these diagrams. And first, we pay our gratitude to Great Noble Council of Agnetha Brahmarayalam for giving us this Dhamma. So let us go to second slide. And in the second slide, we have studied this diagram in a four-day course. Here we have perception of beauty, pleasure, and perception of self. And we have studied this one as cause and condition. And then we have a plan. How do we actually define sensuality? The sensuality is defined in Nibbedika Sutra as greed for thoughts is man's sensuality. Man's enjoyment is greed for thoughts. So whatever the plans over here for that thought, we have the greed. So then you can see it is arising from this perception of beauty, pleasure and self. So in other words, there is arising phenomena. Then there is passing away phenomena. That means sensuality is impermanent. So that is what you understand this sensuality. And then let us go to the next diagram, 2B diagram. In this 2B diagram, we are introducing 7 steps. You know, every round has got 7 steps. Those steps are, the first step is that you get the beauty. So we have marked that one from bodhitai of misapprehension to the bodhitai of insistence that this is truth. And then you add a permanency to that one. Remember that cutlet example? You see cutlet. As soon as you see cutlet, you get, no, it's cutlet is there like a light coming up, beauty. And then, if you can spin with cutlet, with the barb of lust, so that cutlet is there, then you get the permanency. Remember that we have discussed this one. You are going to a place, and then you see someone is actually bringing a plate of cutlet and putting in front of you. And you got this light, you know, cutlet is there. And then let us say, in the next second or so, another one coming and taking the whole cutlet and go away. Now you don't have happiness. So what happened here? The perception of beauty, and then you add the perception of permanency. I can spin. Cutlet is there. Then you have the happiness. When it is removed, it is not there. Now, for the beauty, you add the permanency, then you can see there is a line marked over here. Underlying tendencies to greed for sensual desire. Kama raga anusaya in Pali. So, when you add the permanency to the beauty, then you get the perception that it is pleasure. This particular area, you can see that we have marked conceit, beauty, permanence, and then the underlying tendency to greed. That area is this, the Kamara Ganuse area, greed for sensual desire. So now we got the third step, it is pleasurable. And then it go inside the bodhitai of misapprehension, so that is the fourth step. And then this pleasure we take as self, so that is the fifth step. And then we have the sixth step, that underlying tendencies to view. So you can see, this pleasure became the self, and now I have wave, so underlying tendency to wave. Now I am pointing my finger to the physical nutriment and I am saying this foam is pleasurable. You know, foam doesn't have the pleasure. What it can have is the beauty. But I am actually giving another value that it is pleasurable. It's like that having seen someone, you are saying this person is so pleasurable. Then the seventh step will be the delight. So we have learned seven steps over here. And then remember we were talking about this sensual perception. There is a line from this aging, feeling, and then if you extend that one, between perception and mental version, there is what is called asampajana in Pali. It is the absence of awareness. So this line from feeling to the absence of awareness, that particular part represent what is called sensual perception. So now let us go to the next diagram, slide number 3. Now here you can see we have marked this covetousness, abhijja, and the ill will, and then the competition is marked. This diagram was constructed to discuss the Tayodhamma Sutta. So the line from 1.3 moha to birth, this competition is there. And also, we are going to show you where is this my-making and I-making here in this diagram. Because we are going to use that one in slide number 5. So you can see that there is this dobha marked in green, the identity view, and then we have the doubt over here, and the misapprehension. This dobha is crossing with the line from this sloth and torpor to this 1.3 moha ignorance. That particular intersection of the two line is my making. And then remember that the chair, if you extend this part of the chair from ignorance to here we have worry, and if you extend that onto this particular line, the dotted line, see a dotted line coming from sloth and torpor to the delusion. And in the intersection of those two lines, that particular point is I making. Now, this one also you can see there are two lines intersecting at the worry point, the two red lines. One is going from sloth and torpor to the frivolous speech. The other one going from perception to the disparaging, palasa. At that particular point, I-making and my-making are together. Why are they together? Now the question is, do we have any moment that we do not have sloth and torpor? You see, we have been spinning 8 rounds a great eons ago. So then there is sloth and torpor. Every perception is sick. So when you are coming from sloth and torpor, that is sickness of the mind and sickness of the mental state, for example, perception is sick, then you are coming to this point where this worry, now it's sort of translate that line part as my making part, that is sick, that is sloth and torpor, and then here we are saying I am, that is I am because taking pleasure as mine. And then if you go from that particular point to the frivolous talks, that is this I-making part where, you see, I am sick. I am permanent, but today I am sick. It's like someone is asking, didn't you go to work today? The other person is saying, oh no, today I am sick. In other words, all the time I am good, but, today I became sick. But you are forgetting that you are sick all the time. So now you can see, I am temporarily sick. That's what I am trying to say. So from left to right, sloth and torpor to my making part over here. So we are saying that sick I am. And from here, I'm saying I am sick, going to the right. So sick I am and I am sick. Then you can see there's no difference over there. So therefore, this disparaging can't separate because they are the sort of the same. So then I making and my making are together at this particular point. So what Buddha was describing here, you can see there is this Mara's cage over here, starting from this coveting and greed. And this there is the pyramid. So this is the Mara's cage. And we are inside it. So in the first meditation, this person is saying, I'm not going to stay inside it. I want to get out of this zone using these 37 factors of enlightenment. That is, Eightfold Path, for example. You don't want to be here. Allow you to go to the imperturbable state. Let us go back to the discourse again. Then again, the disciple of the noble ones considers this. Sensuality here and now, sensuality in lives to come, sensual perceptions here and now, sensual perceptions in lives to come. Whatever is form, every form, is the four great elements, or a form derived from the four great elements. Practicing and frequently abiding in this way, his mind acquires confidence in that dimension. There being full confidence, he either attains the imperturbable now or else he is committed to discernment. With the breakup of the body after death, it is possible that this leading on consciousness of his will go to imperturbable. This is declared to be the second practice conducive to the imperturbable. So we can understand this one by going to the 2B diagram. Here you can see this pleasure, self, then the underlying tendency to views, pointing at the physical nutriment. So because of this physical nutriment, we get this sensual perceptions and sensuality. So now, if there is no form, then there is no sensuality or sensual perception. So that part of the meditation, that is, remember the excrement is not mine, the element of extension, and the urine outside is element of cohesion, and the urine inside is element of cohesion, and there it is not mine. So by doing that one, you can go into the space is infinite level of consciousness. That's the fifth jhana. Then let us go back to the discourse again. Then again, the disciple of the noble ones considers this. Sensuality here and now, sensuality in lives to come, sensual perceptions here and now, sensual perceptions in lives to come, forms here and now, forms in lives to come, form perceptions here and now, form perceptions in lives to come, both are impermanent. Whatever is impermanent, is not worth delighting, is not worth welcoming, is not worth remaining whole into. Practicing and frequently abiding in this way, his mind acquires confidence in that dimension. There being full confidence, he either attains the imperturbable now or else is committed to discernment. With the breakup of the body, after death, it is possible that this leading on consciousness of his will go to the imperturbable. This is declared to be the third practice conducive to the imperturbable. Here we are talking about eight things. Sensuality, you can see here and now, and in lives to come. Sensual perceptions, similarly here and now, in lives to come. Form and form perceptions, both here and now, in lives to come. Now, all these things are impermanent. If it is impermanent, it not worth delighting, not worth welcoming, not worth remaining holy to. Remember this like the concentration meditation, the 4-day course, first meditation. So you are not seeking delighting, welcoming, or remain holy. So, in other words, not delighting, not welcoming, not remain whole into the perception of base of space is infinite. So, therefore, you can reach the sixth jhana. Sixth jhana is consciousness is infinite. So, that is the meditation part over there. Going back to the discourse again, then again, the disciple of the noble ones considers this. Sensuality here and now, sensuality in lives to come, sensual perceptions here and now, sensual perceptions in lives to come, forms here and now, forms in lives to come, form perceptions here and now, form perceptions in lives to come, perception of the imperturbable, all are perceptions, where they cease without remainder, that is peaceful, that is exquisite, the dimension of nothingness. Practicing and frequently abiding in this way, his mind acquires confidence in that dimension. There being full confidence, he either attains the dimension of nothingness now or else is committed to discernment. With the breakup of the body after death, it is possible that this leading on consciousness of his will go to the dimension of nothingness. This is declared to be the first practice conducive to the dimension of nothingness. Just to understand this one, let us go to slide number 3. Then you can see there is this covetousness, abhijja, the ill will and the competition. Let us say for a moment, we don't have covetousness and ill will. But we do have competition. What will happen? Then we spin with the barb of views over here. And therefore we are spinning with the barb of delusion. It is like a game, you know, game of the feeling. Let us say example, let us say someone, a vendor, got a small shop and he's selling his goods and he's happy. And then while he's living with this happiness, another vendor is coming and putting up a bigger shop next to him, selling the same thing. Now people are going to that shop. This person is now defeated. Now let us say, now he understands now these things are impermanent. So now he is going to a temple and then start meditating. And then he getting rid of these sensual pleasures and with the initial application and sustained application, he abides in the first jhana concentration, which is rapturous. And he is happy about this one. But then, a person who has reached the second jhana, he is coming there and telling him, what are you doing? You are doing these things with the initial application and sustained application. I am without those initial application, sustained application. I am not even thinking about this the urine excrement and so on. I am in the second jhana concentration. So then you can see again, this person is now defeated. Then somehow he also reached second jhana concentration, and which is rapturous, and he is happy. Then to that place, the third jhana person is coming and he is saying that you are with the rapture and you feel it from your body, then you might get attached to it. I am in the third jhana concentration, which is pleasurable. Again, you can see this person is defeated. And then this person reached third jhana concentration and he is happy and he has got the pleasure. And to that place, then the fourth jhana person is coming and saying, what are you doing? You are in the third jhana and there is pleasure. You know, when the pleasure is gone, then you have this pain. I have got rid of this pleasure and the pain, and I am in the fourth jhana concentration. Now you can see again, this person is defeated. So likewise, he is going to the fifth jhana, and then he is going to the sixth jhana, that consciousness is infinite. So then he understands
This game of feeling cannot be won. Whatever way I reach this one, that, I'll be defeated. So then he would like the cessation of these feelings. So then he is going to reach in the seventh jhana, concentration, the plane of nothing. So that's what he should be understanding, this competition about the feeling. You know, you cannot win. So therefore you are going to the seventh jhana. To understand this one further, let us go into the fourth slide. And here you can see there is a statement, the existence and the property. And vokara in Pali is after transcending of perception of form. Then we come to the I making. Existence, bhavang, bhogang, and then after transcending those perceptions of form, that means fifth jhana and above, and that become a footing for I making. The existence, physical nutriment is here, that is the property, bhoga, and then there is this, underneath the feeling we have written bhava, that is the existence. And then the vokara is written underneath the mental volition. Now you can see, because of the property, you become arrogant. I have a Benz car, I have a good house, and so on. Now let us say, in your lane, everyone has got a Benz car. Then you can't be arrogant. So you can see the inequality is making this arrogance over there. And then when you take example for this bhava, existence, let us say a 16-year-old girl who is beautiful, and because of the beauty she become arrogant. Now let us say everyone in the lane are beautiful as her, then she can't be arrogant. So now you can see, because of the inequality, there is this arrogant coming up. And then mental volition part over here, vokara, let us say you go into the spaces infinite level of concentration, and having reached there, then you become arrogant. Because you see, if there are few people, and then if one can reach fifth jhana and the others can't, then because this person, he can reach fifth jhana, that person become arrogant. Now, if everyone in the group can go into the same level of attainment, like fifth jhana, then you can't be. So you can see these three things, that is this, the property and the existence, and then the transcending the perception, that is you are going to the fifth jhana and so on. All three things are leading to what is called I-making. You become arrogant and you get the I-making. And then in Pali it says, Dhammes upagamana lakkana atta sanja, tas ahankara padattana. Perception of self as the characteristic of approaching about ideas. These ideas mean perception and volition. Its footing is I making. So, in other words, 16-year-old girl, if she is beautiful and she become arrogant, now what makes her to reach that level of beauty? Maybe the four meritorious deeds that she has done. Now she wanted to do those things again and again. So those ideas, perceptions, volitions are coming to be. So you are going back to the same thing. So now you can see this I making is leading to the perception of self. And in Petakopadesa, the English book, page 136, it says, the masculinity faculty and the femininity faculty are a food in for craving. For as soon as the male has to do with women, it then becomes subject to lust in oneself. This is eye-making. Being thus lustful, it seeks externally. This is my making. Likewise, the female. You see, a man is looking at a woman, thinking, I am a man. Because of the inequality, the thoughts are coming to them. Man is looking at a man in a different way than to look at a woman. A woman is looking at a man thinking that I am a woman. So the thoughts are coming to the woman. Woman is looking at a woman in a different way. Now you can see, having taken that, you know, that I am a man, I am a woman, and so on. So, you can see that we are looking at other people, thinking I am a man, thinking I am a woman. So, externally, being thus lustful, it seeks externally. And you know, appropriation of external objects leads to what is called my making. And then you get the perception of pleasure. Remember this diagram we have discussed before in a 4-day course? The appropriation of external objects lead to my making. Since this is mine, you know, when you have a Benz car in your house, then you are happy. So you get you are going to the perception of pleasure. The perception of pleasure has the characteristic of going to the contact affected by the taste. So you are going to the contact. Now you can see, from the eye-making part, we are actually getting my-making. So this diagram is actually explaining that eye-making lead to my-making. Now you can see we have marked number 1, 2 and 3 here. So 1 to the physical nutriment and this mental volition, vokara is here. That is like 5th jhana, 6th jhana. Now let us rotate this diagram clockwise by 90 degrees. It is something like someone putting a rope to the physical nutriment, going through those pulley over here, mental volition, and then dragging downwards. So this one rotate. So then you get the next diagram. So let us go to the slide number 5. You can see in the slide number 5 we have marked the killing and the hate. Hate lead to killing. Stealing lead to greed. Greed lead to stealing. Sexual misconduct lead to delusion. Delusion lead to sexual misconduct. Now we have marked that one in a diagram. The down below you can see that vokara, that is transcending of those forms, reaching the 6th, 5th jhana. So that is the 1.3 delusion over here. So that this one rotating, previous diagram rotating 90 degrees, you can see 1, 2, 3 coming up like that one. So the feeling in the previous diagram has gone through the misapprehension. So instead of feeling, we represent misapprehension here. And the greed is marked to the left side of that one. And the top is the ignorance. And stealing has been marked. And down below you can see killing is marked. And in the middle, sexual misconduct. This diagram, just imagine as a folding cloth rack, which can be folded horizontally as well as vertically. So when you look at the vertically folding, now we have written killing over here. And you know, if you are killing a chicken, then you are taking its meat. That means stealing as well. So in other words, you can see it is vertically folding. Now what we are actually trying to focus today is the horizontal folding. So we have written a statement here. Number one, former delusion, moha, means lived with hate, dosa, killing. Now you can see, which we have marked over here, the former delusion, and then you come back to the left side, that is hate, and going to the right, that is killing. You can see the hate and killing we have marked on the top. We know about this relationship. What is our lived with hate means? By taking sick perception as mine, for example, taking perception of base of infinite as mine. So remember 1.3, what we have is vokara, transcending of those forms, like fifth jhana, sixth jhana. So you take that one as mine. So you lived with hate. And then another line is written over here. Ignorance at the moment means living with greed, stealing. Ignorance at the moment means living with greed. So you come to the left side and then stealing onto the right side. What is our ignorance at the moment? Stealing. Earn money and live. That is what we do today. And then the third line, the sexual misconduct means sensual perception, kama sanya. Clinging here means adherences. So remember adherences from the 4-day course, that is abhinivesa, which is marked over here. So the sexual misconduct, now you do have this, let us say, perception of beauty, and that sort of lead to this sensual perception, and that then you are clinging to that one. So above three, that means the adherence, ignorance, and then the delusion will go inside the bodhitaya of misapprehension, bodhitaya of insistence that this is truth. Now misapprehension goes inside insistence that this is truth with the craving at the present moment, not thinking about the future, not thinking about the past. At this point, I making and my making are together. Former ignorance and the false delusion are together as well. They are the same. So your meditation here is that in the meditation you contemplate that the bodhitaya of misapprehension go inside the bodhitaya of insistence that is truth because of these three. The ignorance, the adherences, and then that's delusion over here. For you to understand the delusion path, you can imagine that, remember, we have learned burning with delusion in the greed, hate, delusion meditation. So there was a big belt going through all of these things, and then you're going through the ignorance and coming to the bodhitaya of insistence. It's like a man here in the 1.3 delusion point, putting a rope around the whole thing, and then he is actually dragging rope's two ends. So whatever things on this diagram, we can see it is folding. Everything on the left side is coming to the right. So a sort of shrinking over there, folding is there. For the ignorance part, you can see, you are, let us say, a man is inside the bodhitaya of insistence. So he put a rope for the bodhitaya of misapprehension, and through the ignorance, the pulley is there, and then he is actually dragging the rope down. So then, body type of misapprehension will come to the body type of insistence that this is truth. And the adherences part, you can see, since we are clinging, so it's like a rubber band. When the misapprehension and body type of insistence, and they are becoming closer and closer, and then eventually this misapprehension go inside the body type of insistence. Now this particular thing is happening in the present moment. To understand that one, just imagine that you see someone. That particular person, as soon as you see that person, you say, this person is so beautiful. You see that person's, even the wind did not touch your body. As soon as you see, you regard, this person is beautiful. That person has not given you anything. Your stomach, you know, to fill your stomach or anything, that person hasn't given. It's just, you see that one. As soon as you see, the body type of misapprehension is coming to the body type of insistence. So since that person has not given anything, that you can see, this is the consciousness as nutriment path, and then you can see the ignorance and the insistence, and the 1.3 delusion over here, the taint of ignorance, consider it that way. So if nothing entered over here, that means you did not have anything to your stomach. It's just having seen that person, your former ignorance and the false delusion would be the same. So that's like a meditation in the consciousness as nutriment path, you can understand. So the meditation is at this present moment. I making and my making are together. Remember, we discussed this one in a former slide. Inside this worry, two are together. Now, the meditation part is that you are looking at, because of these three ideas, ignorance, adherences, delusion, the misapprehension goes inside the body type of insistence. Having seen someone, straight away this will happen. It's like a still water is shaking. Nothing is added to the water. And when the I-making and my-making are together, the body type of insistence goes inside the body type of misapprehension as well. But that is not the present moment. That means that person has given you something, and then you have taken something to your stomach. And then, having tasted it, you are saying, yes, it is good, and then go into the misapprehension. So this is the major meditation part. Let us go into the next slide. Before you go, see that these number 4, 5 and 6 are marked over here. 5 is sexual misconduct. So let us go to slide number 6. Now you can see this is coming from this ayatana diagram 3. Here we have sensual desire, thinking, kama vitakka, and the sexual misconduct is there. So for the sexual misconduct, one may be thinking, just because I have sensual desire, do I get sexual misconduct? Think about the time that you are going to mother's womb, that moment. Sensual desire, thinking, coming to sexual misconduct. And then sexual misconduct, you get the delusion. From the delusion, you get the thinking imbued with harmfulness. And the down below, you can see sensual desire, thinking, ill thinking, and harmful thinking imbued with harmfulness. So now, rotate 4, 5 and 6 clockwise. And then you get the rightmost part of the diagram in previous slide. That is 4, 5 and 6. Now, just think about the instance where body type of misapprehension goes inside the body type of insistence that is truth. And then it is coming back. And just imagine the situation where the body type of insistence has gone inside the body type of misapprehension, and we have marked covetousness, the volition there, above, and the sensual perception is on the right side, and the going bad way through fear down below. What is inside this blue box? That is feeling, that is sadness. Now you understand what Buddha said. Monks, sensuality is impermanent, hollow, vain, false, deceptive. It is illusory, the babble of fools. It is only the sadness that results from sensual perception. So, now what you understood is that folding cloak rack sort of example. This folding horizontally, what it resulted is the sadness. So, having seen someone, then straight away the misapprehension is going inside the insistence, body type of insistence, that this is truth. And then body type of insistence going inside the body type of misapprehension. And what you have is the sadness. So understanding that one is a very great value. So this is the major meditation part. Because of these three values, the ignorance, adherences, and the delusion, the misapprehension going inside the bodhicitta of insistence that this is truth. Okay, so let us go back to the discourse again. Then Buddha is saying, then again, the disciple of the noble ones, having gone into the wilderness to the root of a tree or into an empty dwelling, considers this. This is empty of self or of anything pertaining to self. Practicing and frequently abiding in this way, his mind acquires confidence in that dimension. There have been full confidence. He either attains the dimension of nothingness now, or else he is committed to discernment. With the breakup of the body after death, it is possible that this leading on consciousness of his will go to the dimension of nothingness. This is declared to be the second practice conducive to the dimension of nothingness. And this particular part of the meditation you have already done. Remember, we in virtue discourse on a 4-day course, fourth day we learn that this is empty of self, of anything pertaining to self. Then there is this diagram that you have used in Sila Sutra, virtuous discourse in 4-day course. Remember this arrow. If it is impermanent, subject to suffering and change, is it befitting to regard as mine? Then you are coming to this emptiness. And that is this the seventh jhana. One time it is the seventh jhana, the dimension of nothingness. Now you can see, Buddha said this is the second practice conducive to the dimension of nothingness. Also, it is the second practice. The knowledge is high here, because as this person is using fruit of attainment. Many stream enterers are saying, I didn't feel any rapture or anything, but I consider this form feeling, perception, volitional formation and consciousness as not mine. And then I came to this empty place. So what they are saying is the truth, that you don't have to go to first jhana, second jhana and so on. You can straight away go to the seventh jhana. You can even go to liberation as well. So that part of the meditation you already know. And then let us go back to the discourse again. Then again the disciple of the noble ones consider this. I am not anyone's anything, anywhere. Nor is anything of mine in anyone, anywhere. Practicing and frequently abiding in This way his mind acquires confidence in that dimension. There be in full confidence. He either attains the dimension of nothingness now or else he is committed to discernment. With the breakup of the body after death, it is possible that this leading on consciousness of his will go to the dimension of nothingness. This is declared to be the third practice conducive to the dimension of nothingness. Here you can say, he says this, I am not anyone, anything, anywhere. Nor is anything of mine in anyone, anywhere. So that means it's like a wave. If only wave is constructed, we see the existence of self. Because of lust, we construct the wave. So this third practice is a well advanced position of the mind. So this is the canker state of the mind. The knowledge is more than the second case we discuss. So to understand this one, let us go to the diagram, 2B diagram. And here you can see I have added three arrows that are written 1A from the physical nutriment to perception, 1B perception to mental volition, and then 1C from the mental volition to consciousness. Down below you can see we have marked volitional formations. These are the lamented volitional formation. So from there I have written arrow to go to sorrow, and that one is marked as 2A. From the sorrow to sadness, that is marked as 2B. An arrow from sadness to suffering marked as 2C. What are you trying to say over here is that when we go from lamented volitional formations to sorrow, we are going from physical nutriment to perception. One good example is, let us say you are doing this farming, maybe working in a paddy field, and then you construct sort of a water retaining wall called ridges, and you are tired after constructing this one, and then you go home and you are going to have a cup of tea, and you sit down to drink this cup of tea, and then someone is coming and telling you retaining wall that you constructed is broken. So in other words, the volitional formations you constructed subject to lamentation, ridges are broken. So you are going to sorrow. At that particular time you think, okay, I will construct retaining wall with cement or something. So in other words, from physical nutriment, you are going to perception. So now, when you are going from perception to mental volition, then you are going from sorrow to sadness. So from sadness, you are going to suffering, then you are going from mental volition to the consciousness. And in this particular moment, we look at the definition of volition, how the volition is defined. He defines like this one. He abides associated with sensuality, develops them, and remains whole into them. And that is volition. So now you look at the definition of the volition. Let us go to the third part of that definition. Remain whole into them. What are we remain whole into? We remain whole into the existence, Baba. And then we are going to the second part of the definition of the volition, that develop them. What are we developing? The physical nutriment, that is the form, the feeling, and the mental volition. Those are the things that we develop. For example, one may be Let us say you move to a new house, and in front of your house there is a big house. Someone is there, a rich man. Then maybe you have a gathering, and then someone is asking, how is that man having such a good life, you know, rich life? Then someone in that gathering is saying, oh, he is the engineer. So this one is actually thinking, okay, then let me study engineering so that I can actually be like him. In other words, you are developing this volition, the feeling that you are in a big house and so on. Then you get such a feeling. And then the form that he, that person is eating the good food. So you are developing these three: physical nutriment, feeling, and the mental volition. Now you can see this is like a teacup or the saucepan. And that saucepan has got a handle, that green line over here, to the consciousness. Now you come to the first part of this definition of volition. He abides associated with sensuality. That means he is connected, associated. We associate with what? The physical nutriment, feeling, and the perception. Now you look at what is inside your teacup, that perception. But you can see that perception is empty. Why is so? You see here that we have the beauty from the bodhicitta of misapprehension to insistence that this is truth. There is beauty. We add permanency to the beauty, then you get that this is pleasurable, you know, pointing at the perception. Now you can see these are two lies. We know that there is no beauty. It is that excrement, urine, saliva, snot and so on. So that is a false thing, not true. And then permanency is also a false thing because it is impermanent. So adding two lies together, you are saying it is, you know, pleasurable. So in other words, my teacup is empty. When you understand that one, then your mind will stop. And that particular time that you reach this, the third practice conducive to the dimension of nothingness. So that is the cankerless state of the mind. So when you are actually analyzing it this way, you need to think about the conceit as well. You see, 2A and 1A are straightforward, but the 2B and 1B are a little bit deeper, because that particular man who constructed the retaining wall in the paddy field, he got a conceit. You know, it's the one that I constructed is the one broken, other ones are lasting. So you need to think about that path as well. So having understood that one, if you understand this perception is empty, my teacup is empty, then you reach this the dimension of nothingness. So let us go back to the discourse again. Then again the disciple of the noble ones considers this sensuality here and now, sensuality in lives to come, sensual perceptions here and now, sensual perceptions in lives to come, forms here and now, forms in lives to come, form perceptions here and now, form perceptions in lives to come, perception of the imperturbable, perceptions of the dimension of nothingness, all are perceptions. Where they cease without remainder, that is peaceful, that is exquisite, that it implies the dimension of neither perception nor non-perception. Practicing and frequently abiding in this way, his mind acquires confidence in that dimension. There being full confidence, he either attains the dimension of neither perception nor non-perception. Now, or else is committed to discernment. With the breakup of the body after death, it is possible that this leading on consciousness of his will go to the dimension of neither perception nor non-perception. This is declared to be the practice conducive to the dimension of neither perception nor non-perception. We have discussed this one before, that you are constructing these volitional formations. You understand the perception is impermanent to the extent that the constructed volitional formations are not mine. Then you can reach the eighth jhana. The jhana perceptions are also the decisions of delusion, moha. Now take those volitional formations as mine. Then you reach this eighth jhana. So it is worth pointing at this moment. The arising of consciousness is like a bell-shaped curve. You know, let us say, in the 2B diagram or this slide 9 that we have. So we have feeling, and then we are actually constructing a peak over here and the mental volition, and it is that curve is dying. It is like, you know, I have eaten some sort of a curry when I was more. I am saying no one has made that curry for me that after. So when I am eating, let us say it is pumpkin, when I am eating pumpkin, so I get this A point in the bell-shaped curve, and then it's the middle, and then I take my best. So the mental volition point become the best, and then it is dying down. Since it's a wave, it is moving to the right. So you can see, I can start the wave again with the body tie of misapprehension, go into consciousness, and then it is dying. Why do I get my best? I get my best because I'm thinking. You know, when I was eating, when I was small, and that was really good, because my taste buds were good. So this is, you can see, our karma. Now keep this one in mind. When this was said, Venerable Ananda said to the Blessed One, "There is the case, Lord, where a monk having practiced in this way, it should not be. It should not occur to me. It will not be. It will not occur to me. What is what has come to be, that I abandon, obtains equanimity." Now would this monk be totally unbound or not? A certain such monk might, Ananda, and another might not. What is the cause, what is the reason, Lord, whereby one might and another might not? There is the case, Ananda, where a monk having practiced in this way, thinking it should not be, it should not occur to me, it will not be, it will not occur to me. What is, what has come to be, that I abandon, obtains equanimity. He delights in that equanimity, welcomes it, remains hold into it. As he delights in that equanimity, welcomes it, remains hold into it, his consciousness is depending on it, is sustained by it. With clinging sustenance, Ananda, a monk, is not totally unbound. So in other words, going to this equanimity level, he seek delight, welcome, remain whole into it. So therefore, he can't attain Nibbana. Being sustained, Lord, where is that monk sustained? The dimension of neither perception nor non-perception. Then indeed, being sustained, he is sustained by the supreme sustenance. Being sustained, Ananda, he is sustained by the supreme sustenance. For this, the dimension of neither perception nor non-perception is the supreme sustenance. So, people normally think that best birth is the human birth. Buddha is saying here, the best birth is in the eighth jhana realm, neither perception nor non-perception. And again, in this discourse, Buddha is saying, there is the case where a monk having practiced in this way, It should not be. It should not occur to me. It will not be. It will not occur to me. What is, what has come to be, that I abandon, obtains equanimity. He does not delight in that equanimity, does not welcome it, does not remain whole into it. As does not delight in that equanimity, does not welcome it, does not remain whole into it. His consciousness is not dependent on it, is not sustained by it. Without clinging sustenance, Ananda, monk is totally unbound. In other words, having reached this equanimity level, he does not delight, does not welcome, does not remain whole into. Like in concentration discourse. So it is amazing, Lord, it is astounding. For truly the Blessed One has declared to us the way to cross over the flood by going from one support to the next. But what is the noble liberation? There is the case, Ananda, where a disciple of the noble ones considers this. Sensuality here and now, sensuality in lives to come, sensual perceptions here and now, sensual perceptions in lives to come, forms here and now, forms in lives to come, form perceptions here and now, form perceptions in lives to come, perceptions of the imperturbable, perceptions of the dimension of nothingness, perception of the dimension of neither perception nor non-perception, that is identity. To the extent that there is an identity, this is deathless, the liberation of the mind through lack of clinging sustenance. So, what Buddha is saying here, we construct these various perceptions, go into the jhana levels and construct these various perceptions. Also, in the mundane way that, sensuality is there. The best you can construct is idhiya jhana. But Buddha is actually saying, whatever thing that we have constructed, these are, this is the identity, own body. So just to explain this one, you see, if I go to slide 9 for example, so here I am going from physical nutriment to perception. And sensual desire is actually putting a jack over here from the contact as nutriment point to go from physical nutriment to perception. And then, and this is this name and form point between, you know, feeling, mental volition, perception, body type of misapprehension, crossing point. And at that particular point, from the ill will, you make a jack so that we can go from perception to mental volition. And then over here, you know, mental volition, body type of insistence, that is, this is truth, and consciousness as nutriment, body type of misapprehension, we have sloth and torpor. So here it is actually making another jack going to the consciousness. And then remember restlessness, uddacca. It is making another jack so that we can go from consciousness to the taint of ignorance. And when you come to the taint of ignorance, you are going to the taint of sensual desire, and the bridge is making supporting thing is the doubt. And then with the barb of lust you go back to the physical nutriment. So there is this whole round that is created. So remember, in the slide 5 we learn, you know, as soon as you see a person, then you get this beauty thing. So the water, the still water, started shaking. And then it stayed shaking and constructed this whole thing. So the whole frame is now there. So along the way, you might say, I don't want these forms, and then go into the higher jhana concentration. The space is infinite and so on. And whatever thing you have constructed is just your own body. So when this one is flowing, you know, through the mental volition, and it's like a pipe going down, and then between body type of misapprehension and going bad way through fear, there is this I making and my making hiding behind it. So whatever water, when it is flowing, it is leaking and going inside, and it's hiding with I making and my making. It's like a, you know, you take a blotting paper and take the ink, and then you do not know where the ink is gone. Like a sink, you put water, and then you can see the water is going. Where is this going? You do not know. Through that pipe it is going, and it is hiding. So Buddha is saying that all these things are constructions, your own body. And then if you are not clinging to any of those things, then you get the deathless liberation of the mind through lack of clinging sustenance. Now, Ananda, I have taught the practice conducive to the imperturbable. I have taught the practice conducive to the dimension of nothingness. I have taught the practice conducive to the dimension of neither perception nor non-perception. I have taught the way to cross over the flood of going from one support to the next, the noble liberation. Whatever a teacher should do, seeking the welfare of his disciples, out of sympathy for them, that have I done for you. Over there are the roots of trees. Over there are empty dwellings. Meditate, Ananda. Don't be heedless. Don't later fall into remorse. That is our message to you all. That is what the Blessed One said. Gratified Venerable Ananda, delighted in the Blessed One's words. So that is the discourse. And we explain how to do the meditation along the way of this discourse. Just to summarize it. So first, you can see the second para. It's saying that sensuality here and now, sensuality in lives to come, sensual perceptions here and now, sensual perceptions in life to come, both are Mara's realm, Mara's domain. So remember, we were saying that we are all are in this Mara's cage, pointed out in slide 3. Now what you are actually going to use, the first statement in the, you know, paragraph here saying, monk, sensuality is impermanent, hollow, false. You know, Nibbana is the only lasting thing. This is deceptive. It is illusory, the babble of fools. That sentence you can use. And you think, I am not going to be inside this Mara's cage. Let me get out of this one. Using Eightfold Path, you know, five faculties or so on. Using these 37 factors of enlightenment. So your determination that I am not going to be inside this Mara's cage would be good enough for you to go into the imperturbable state. In other words, you are getting rid of this form in a certain way. When you actually see these disgusting body parts, for example, you are getting out. Likewise, I am not going to be inside this Mara's cage. And then the second one, meditation part, you have already done. Remember, is the sensuality here and now, sensuality in lives to come, sensual perceptions here and now, sensual perceptions lives to come. Whatever is form, every form is the four great elements, or the form derived from the four great elements. That part of the meditation you have already done. Remember, excrement outside is the element of extension, and it is not mine. Excrement inside is the element of extension. It is not mine. As in 2B diagram, you can see physical nutriment is the problem. So get rid of this physical nutriment, analyzing by four great elements, then you are going to space is infinite. And then the third one is that having reached there, now you understand we are talking about eight things. Sensuality here and now in lives, sensual perceptions, forms, formal perceptions. And they are impermanent. And it is not worth delighting, not worth welcoming, not worth remaining holding to. So in other words, the concentration that space is infinite, you had in the previous one, then you are saying these things not worth holding to. In other words, you are applying this concentration discourse and then the passing away phenomena. does not seek delight, does not welcome, does not remain holy. So by doing that one, then you are going to the sixth dhyana, concentration level. That is, consciousness is infinite. And then for the next one, going to dimension of nothingness. Here you go into slide 5. First go through these statements over here. Form a delusion and taking sick perception as mind and then killing. So in other words, you are going from delusion, coming to the left side, living with hate by taking sick perception as mind and then killing. And then the next one, the ignorance at the moment means living with greed. So that is the top part over here. The ignorance at the moment, the living with greed and stealing, going to right. So that is, our ignorance at the moment is stealing, earn money and live. And then the middle one, sexual misconduct means sensual perceptions. Clinging here means adherences. So having gone through three statements, you see that the adherences, ignorance and delusion will go inside body type of insistent that this is truth. So in other words, this misapprehension is going inside the body type of insistence. This is truth at the present moment. For that one, you see that as soon as you see someone and then the perception of beauty is coming up, that particular person's wind, even the wind is not coming to you. But he or she has not given anything to you, to your stomach or anything. So still water is getting shaken over here. So this is a fundamental block of this, you know, the thought arising. So because of these three, it is coming to body type of misapprehension, coming to body type of insistence. So analyze it. And at this particular moment, the form of ignorance and the false delusion are the same, because nothing is given to you. And I making and my making are together. So having done that one, thoroughly going through this consciousness as nutriment path, and to do this one, I mentioned that you can see burning with delusion part can be used as well. Whatever delusion you have in this birth, that one becomes the ignorance for the next birth. And the end result, you can see in slide 6, what you get is sadness from this sensuality. So that is that part of the meditation. And the next meditation is that you have already done this one. If it is impermanent, subject to suffering and change, is it befitting to regard as mine? So you reach the emptiness, concentration, dimension of nothingness from that one. So that is the second method conducive to the attainment of dimension of nothingness. For the third one, to attain, third method, attain to dimension of nothingness, we use this slide 9. Remember, we use this 1A, 1B, 1C and 2A, 2B, 2C. So when your volitional formations are lamented, then you are going to sorrow, 2A. At that time, from physical nutriment, you go to perception. Remember that retaining wall example in paddy field construction. And when we are going from perception to mental volition, you are going from sorrow to sadness, 2B. So when you come to that one, mental volition, you focus on the definition of the volition, how we define. A is he abide, associated with sensuality. B, develop them. C, remain holding to them. So what we look at, the C, that is what we are remaining holding to, that is existence. And what we are actually developing, the second part of the definition, the form, feeling and mental volition. And it is like a teacup. So what we are connected with, what we are associated with, that is form, feeling and perception. So inside your teacup there is this perception. And now you analyze that perception and you see that it is empty. Why? Because beauty is a lie. And the permanency is a lie. Adding two lies together and going through this line from going bad way through delusion to the perception. We are saying perception is pleasurable. So my teacup is empty. When you understand, you don't construct this handle. So your mind is stopped. So that is the third practice. And then the next one is going to the eighth jhana, concentration. There you know that if you contemplate, perception is impermanent. To the extent that whatever the constructed original formations are not mine, then you can go to the eighth jhana. Then Venerable Anandas questions whether the person is having reached such state. Would that person go into Nibbana? Buddha said one would be, one would not be. And then if someone is going to equanimity level and is delighting on that one, welcoming, remain holding, then that person will not be attending to Nibbana, going to Nibbana. If someone does not seek delight, does not welcome, does not remain holding, then that person will attain. And then Venerable Ananda asked, what is the noble liberation? Then Buddha said that whatever sensuality here and now, sensual in lives to come, sensual perceptions of these forms, form perceptions, imperturbable perceptions, the dimension of nothingness, perception of neither dimension of neither perception nor non-perception, that is just own body, the identity. So liberation of the mind through lack of clinging, sustenance, is not regarding any of these things. Whatever the constructions you can make, you are not taking them as yours. So Buddha has taken us to all the possible constructions, and then, you know, not taking any of those things, then you can attain Nibbana. So those are the meditations. So you can do half an hour meditation on this one.